Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, my first guest this morning is a Northern Irish singer-songwriter, Amanda St. John, who has quite a remarkable life story. Early on in her career, Amanda gave it all up as she didn't feel she was good enough. Then, after being involved in a terrible car crash where she had a near-death experience, Amanda was determined to live for her three-year-old daughter and on recovery went back into the music business again. And her latest album, called The Music Muscle Shoals Sessions, is a big hit and it was recorded, of course, in that famous studio where singers like Aretha Franklin and Wilson Pickett worked. And I'm joined now by Amanda. Good morning, Amanda St. John.
Good morning, Miriam. Thank you.
Lovely to chat to you. Tell me where you are now. Do you live on the Antrim coast?
I do, yes. I live in a small village called Glenariff, and it's right at the sea, so it's pretty. It's pretty gorgeous.
And tell me where you grew up, Amanda. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, this is where I grew up. So I was born here and then I moved about quite a bit, actually. I was away. I lived in Belfast. I lived in Dublin. I travelled around the world quite a lot. But I'm home now about 10 years.
It's a beautiful coast, isn't it? I mean, and I often talk to people, you know, in the Republic and they don't often get to Antrim. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It's gorgeous. It is like I have travelled the world, but I find it very hard to beat the views. Just it's very dramatic, just the cliffs and the mountains and the water. It's gorgeous. It really is.
Where did the music come in your family?
Good question, Miriam. There was nobody really from my great grandmother. My great grandmother was a singer and she played violin. And then I kind of came out of nowhere then. There was nobody really between that. I suppose, you know, whenever you've had a few drinks at family parties, there's a few singers come out of the woodwork, you know. But nobody that ever pursued it, you know.
Because I read your story actually a few weeks ago in the Sunday Times culture section and it was a wonderful interview. But tell us, you started in the business, didn't you? And then you had this terrible car crash. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I suppose I started when I was a teenager. I was very, you know, driven and very, you know, wanted to be a success. And then I did a few things and just thought, I just didn't have the confidence. And then when I was 31, 32, I had a really bad car accident and I went 300 foot down the side of the mountain in the Antrim coast here. And I had no pulse or anything whenever the fire brigade arrived. So I was unconscious at a really bad head injury and no pulse. So they didn't expect me to survive. And I remember just fighting. I remember like having a choice, like fighting to stay alive. Like I'm not ready. And I asked the question, like, what do I need to do to get out of this? And as clear as day, this voice just said, sing. And I vowed that if I got out of that alive, I would sing. And I hadn't been singing at that stage in about 10 years.
Yeah. Amazing. And then your debut album, I think, Grow, it came out in 2006, didn't it? Tell me about the title track, because we're going to listen to a little of that now.
Yes, that song, I wrote that after the accident, actually. And Grow is literally about finding that inner strength to grow through challenges. It's like your circumstances might be difficult, but you can learn from it and make something of it and grow as a person. Yeah.
That did really well. We're going to listen to some of that now, Amanda. Stay with us.
Okay, thank you.
What happens in this life will not break me of this, I know. What happens in this life, I will face it. I will choose to grow, to grow.
And you come co-wrote that, didn't you, Amanda? I think in Nashville, and you recorded it in Northern Ireland. But your new album, you actually went to this legendary Muscle Shoals studio where I said earlier people like Aretha Franklin, Wilson Pickett, Etta James worked. How did that come about?
I had got a grant from the Arts Council to do like an overseas project, like an international kind of recording project. And I was going to go to Nashville. I have a lot of contacts in Nashville now. And I met with a friend of mine who lives there, a guy called Ben Glover, who's also a singer from County Antrim. And he lives there now. And he was like, go to Muscle Shoals. Your sound is so soulful. Go to Muscle Shoals. So I didn't think it would be a possibility. And he was like, just email them. So I did. And they were like, yeah, love it. You know, so I just, yeah, it was very, very shocking to get the go ahead from them. And yeah, I just moved mountains then to make it happen.
What's the studio like there? And do you almost absorb the ghosts and the memories of those who walked there before you? Is it intimidating?
Yes, it's very intimidating. It's like I literally walked into the vocal booth and it was like Aretha was here. Like, oh my goodness. And there's just, there is a vibe. So there is, and it's all wood. The studio is all made of wood, and that's part of the reason why the sound is so incredible. But it's almost like there's just this energy, and that's it. The way you put it was really lovely. It kind of, I suppose I feel like I was channeling the spirit of all of these people and just wanted to kind of do myself justice to, you know, whenever you were on that playing field. And it was just incredible. It was very surreal, but absolutely incredible experience.
Like everyone else, of course, Amanda, you can't tour at the moment. I mean, are you performing like other performers on Facebook? What are you doing and how are you coping with lockdown?
Yeah, I had, because the album obviously is out now, there on Friday, I had already put the press wheel in motion, and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to go on ahead with it. But I had a tour, I was meant to go to America in March, and then UK and Irish, small UK and Irish tour now in June or May, June. But I'm literally just doing online. I started doing just some Facebook Lives and just trying to stay connected and kind of raise people's spirits a wee bit, I suppose.
Well, look, we're going to go out listening to, I think it's the title track from the Muscles Shoals sessions. Is that right, Amanda?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And anyone who wants to buy your album, how can they do that?
Well, my website is amandastjohnmusic.co.uk. So you can go onto the website there. It's on all digital platforms as well. So
one of our listeners says, morning, Miriam, greetings. Well done, Amanda. By coincidence, today is the feast day of St. Comgall of County Antrim. Kind regards. That's from Philip Joyce. So there we are, an appropriate day to be talking
lovely.
To someone from Antrim. Congrats with all your great success, Amanda. Thanks for joining us. And we'll go out listening now to that title track from your new album, The Muscle Shoals Sessions.
Gonna call a taxi, finish my shift just right on time. Work so hard day by day, need some time on my own. Down the Muscle Shoals, in Muscle Shoals. Everybody's gonna get their space. Music is where I find mine. Song so deep, groove so tight, you'll never feel alone. Down the Muscle Shoals. Songs of the mirror. Of my life, with me in mighty unity.
Well, 24 years ago, Ireland was once again the toast of Europe when Emer Quinn won the Eurovision in Oslo. The song was, of course, The Voice, and it was written by the great Brendan Graham. Well, now that dream team are back together again with new songs on Emer's latest album, one of which, The Watchman, has just been released. And I'm now joined by both Emer and Brendan. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning, Hi. Miriam. Morning,
You're in
Emer.
Separate places. Brendan, where are you?
I'm in Finney in Mayo in the west.
And Emer, where are you?
I'm in Geneva in Switzerland, so I think we're taking social distancing to the extreme.
Yes.
So listen, tell me how this came about. Emer, your new album, produced by yourself, it's going to be out at the end of this month. Tell me about it. How did you choose which songs to include, and how did you work again with Brendan?
Well, Brendan and I suppose we have forged a very strong friendship over the years since Eurovision, and in recent years, we started to write music together. And because I have been, of course, singing a lot of his music over the course of my career, but we started to also write music together. And Brendan has given me some sets of his beautiful lyrics, his gorgeous, poetic, succinct, meaningful lyrics for me to find a way to bring them into song with music. And that has been, it has been a real... a wonderful deepening of our friendship and our relationship, and really great to bring, I suppose, it on to the next level.
And Brendan, did Emer just ask you what you had? How did The Watchman come about, for instance?
Well, it's one of these things. I always kind of believe that songs have their own time to reveal themselves. I originally wrote the lyric to The Watchman back around 2005. I had been in Christchurch in New Zealand, and it was just after the Indonesian tsunami in December 2004. And I was at an ecumenical service in the cathedral there, and with people of many religions whose friends and families and back home in Indonesia had been afflicted by that terrible tsunami. And a wonderful thing happened. All these people who had lost loved ones were marching silently around the church, each holding a candle. And it struck me there in the cathedral that no matter what happens, how bad things are, people still have faith in some greater power, whatever they want to call it, whether it's in the religious sense or it just being the spirit of things in the world, that there is always somebody there or something there to be our protector, the watchman. So it was from there that the song was originally born, from that whole notion, that just that moment in that cathedral. And originally I had set the lyrics to Bach's Sleepers Awake, you know, and demoed it and so on. And then one of the things that happens if you're a non-performing songwriter is you write your songs, you demo them, and then because you're not performing them, you forget about them. So I totally forgot about this song until Emer was working on her album and we had a chat about songs and some co-writing. And then I stumbled back across these lyrics. So I set her the challenge of trying to out-back. And she rose to it very well. So that's how it came about.
And Emer, the extraordinary thing is, obviously it was probably pre what we're going through now in terms of the pandemic, but it's very relevant for these times, this song.
You know what? It's really strange how things work sometimes with the songs. They're like, I suppose, little treasures, and they have their moment to shine, you know. And I have had various different obstacles along the way in getting the album completed. And now I find myself that the music is ready to go into the world when we can't have concerts, like you were saying with Amanda. You know, we can't sell our CDs in shops, but we can bring it to people when people have never been more hungry for music. And, you know, we're sharing with each other, but we're sharing virtually and socially. And music is one of those things that transfers incredibly well. And so this song, which is about solidarity and hope and connection, is all of a sudden being able to set sail into this space where people feel the need to connect with each other through music, but also to that higher kind of benevolence. And so I've had the most extraordinary messages from people where they explain to me who they feel the watchman, who that source is for them. A lot of people, it's for loved ones lost, for, again, exactly what Brendan says, that there is something, you know, watching over us and telling us it's going to be all right.
Well, look, we have a night. Stay with us, please, both of you, and we'll listen now to The Watchman. Beautiful, The Watchman there, by both Emer Quinn and you, Brendan Graham. And it's on your new album, Emer Eru. It's really beautiful. It must be lovely, actually, when you're working something together and then you hear the finished product like that, is it?
It's really exciting. I mean, and to hear the RTÉ Concert Orchestra play so beautifully, you know, it's so exciting for me to hear it on Irish radio because I miss home and it makes me feel I'm part of everyone's kitchen now this morning and my family listening in. And I just think that that's so lovely. And I the thing that I find about the music as well is that it's very deliberately kind of quite patriotic in a sense that it's a classical crossover sound of an album, but all of the music is Irish in origin. Every single song to do with its composition or its actual origin. There's one traditional song that I've arranged. So it's I called it Éire in the end, that sense of that mother goddess of Ireland where Éire comes from. And it really is a sense now of, you know, I feel rising up, you know, when we're all ready to rise again and music can lift us, you know.
And actually, people listening this morning, Anne and Carrick McCraw says she sings like an angel. Fiona Lyon says, loving your chat, Miriam, with Emer and Brendan. They're both so amazingly talented and their modesty and humbleness makes them even more beautiful. I love this song. It's very special. I'll bring you one more. Mick Lynch in Port Leash says, hi, Miriam. I always love to hear Emer and Brendan, two of Ireland's national treasures, but so modest at what they both do so well. I love Emer's voice and her collaborations with Brendan never disappoint. Thank God he found her in Maynooth all those years ago. That's best wishes. And another says, Miriam, I just want to thank Emer for the most beautiful concert in Navan before Christmas. She touched so many people that night with her amazing voice and the honesty of her stories. Thank you, Emer. You're an absolute treat for the soul and the ears. Before I both let you go, Emer, is it difficult during times like this? You mentioned family and stuff earlier, to be away at a time like this.
It really is hard, Miriam. Like, I have to say, you know, it's hard for everyone. Listen, who is it not hard for? You know, but, and you know, we're lucky because we're well and my whole family is well at home. But the idea of just not knowing when you're going to see your loved ones again is really tough, you know. But listen, it's the same for everyone. We all can have equal levels of compassion for each other, you know. I know it's the same for Brendan. He's not seeing his family. You know, we all have to make these sacrifices for each other.
How have you been finding it, Brendan? And I know without saying where she's working or her name that you've a daughter, a doctor working on the front line, so you probably worry about her as well.
Well, yes, it's a big worry, but no more than a worry that thousands of mothers and fathers have and husbands and wives and children. And yes, she's just returned to work after maternity leave. So I would just say to people, we're doing great in the country. We need to keep focused on keeping safe because every day she goes to work, she's at risk. So just if people would bear those kind of things in mind.
Oh, yeah, Brendan. Thank you so much, Brendan, for joining us. And you too, Emer. Emer, your album, Aru, that song is on. When can people buy it and how can they listen to that song, The Watchman, now?
Oh, they can listen to it straight away on, you know, Spotify and Amazon and all of those places. Wherever you like to listen to music digitally, you can download it also on iTunes if you'd prefer to play it on the CD player. But for the moment, unfortunately, manufacturing CDs is not possible. So I'll have one hell of a hoolie when I can launch it physically with the orchestra and have a concert and... So we'll have another surge of it then. But for now, you'll find it everywhere. You'll also find we've made a video for it, and the video is on YouTube. You can have a look there. But may I just say, because of Amanda being on as well, one way that people can help artists who they really appreciate at this time, which is completely free to them, is just to follow their digital profiles and save their songs to their playlists. It's a really simple thing to do, but actually it's a tiny free gesture, but incredibly helpful to the artist in trying to slowly build during this time so they can come back with strength afterwards.
Okay, well, listen, it's been lovely to speak to both of you. Both Emer, stay safe in Geneva, and Brendan, to you too.
Thank you,
it was lovely chatting to you. And we're going to go out listening to a little bit of your lovely song, Brendan, Raise Me Up.
Oh, thank you.
weary when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. More than I can be.
Beautiful voice there, Brian Kennedy singing Brendan Graham's song, You Raise Me Up. One of our listeners, Scylla, says, nobody, and I mean nobody, sings You Raise Me Up like Brian Kennedy. It's in a different league. And then just some reaction to that beautiful song, The Watchman, from Emer Quinn. Lorena Reardon says, that was so beautiful. Emer Quinn has an amazing voice. Eileen Foley says, absolutely beautiful. She sings like an angel. Caroline Grace Kennedy says, stunning song. Well, we head to Cork now, and Jack O'Rourke is one of our most loved singer-songwriters. But unlike many of his fellow musicians, he's also a teacher in a secondary school in Cork, and he's carrying on with both jobs right now, from Zoom lessons to writing new songs. Good morning, Jack.
Hi, Miriam. How are you doing?
I'm good. How's Cork this morning?
Cork is sunny. The birds are singing, and yeah, everything is it seems a bit surreal. Nothing seems to be going on except this. So, yeah, it's lovely here. Really, really sunny.
How's the school teaching going before we talk about the songwriting?
The school teaching is going good. It took a while to kind of get used to Zoom lessons, teaching online. You know, it's lovely to have that connection with teaching, but it's you know, nothing beats, I suppose, being in the classroom with them and that kind of interactive learning and personal connection. But we're getting there. You know, it's a hard time for students, so we just have to support them.
And of course, the news about the Leaving Cert, that probably makes a lot of students even more worried, would you say?
It does, yeah. It's I actually don't have Leaving Certs this year, but I would have been working with some of them for their music practicals. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just unprecedented, I suppose, and we just have to, I suppose, put our faith in you know, I think teachers in general want their best for their students, so I think people can trust that, and you know, hopefully everybody will do well in this different kind of scenario.
And you're cocooning, I think, aren't you, with your parents in Cork? Is that right, Jack?
I am. Yeah. I am. I was summoned home the first week, and I didn't realise it would go on so long. So I've left my place in the city, and I'm in the countryside, and lots of places to ride and walk. And I suppose I'm very lucky. A lot of people don't have that luxury of having open spaces and, you know, ability to move around, I suppose, a bit, you know.
It also means, because the last time you were in here, I remember you sang a beautiful song by the late, great John Prine, but you also were here with your boyfriend, Johnny, and of course you haven't been able to see each other. Is it difficult being apart?
No. It is hard, yeah. He's listening, you know, it's at the moment in Tipperary, but yeah, it's just, again,
hi, Johnny.
It's just a very different situation, so... He's saying hi back, I'd say, but we're looking forward to seeing each other, and, you know, seeing what the next phase of this might be. So that's all we can do at the moment, kind of wait, I suppose.
Yeah, and look, you've used your time productively. You've written a song which we're going to listen to, Zell. Tell me about this song. It's called Strange Bird.
Yeah, so I'm not like other songwriters. I need to be kind of on my own and in a solitary space to write, but, you know, and in a weird way, this time means that I have that luxury and that opportunity. So I've been writing a lot of songs just at the piano, and I saw a photograph of a little boy with his hand to the window and his grandfather at the other side, and yeah, the song just came to me from that. I think it's a horrible kind of idea, almost opportunistic, to write a song about this time, you know, to set out to do that, but this song just kind of came to me, and it kind of wrote itself. And in the midst of writing it, I kind of, John Prine, who's a big hero of mine, died. Mm. And I love the way in his songs, even if he's writing about something very real and personal and tragic, he includes a little bit of humor. So there's the last verse talks about a girl who can't go to her cocktail hour anymore, you know. So in the midst of everything else, everything is relative, that we're all missing out on different things, you know, from our lives, both big and small, you know.
It's beautiful. Stay with me. We're going to listen now to your new song, Jack, called Strange Bird.
Strange bird flying through deserted towns. She got no plumage, she got no song. Records the quiet in our memory. If she's a computer, then what are we? Hugs I few here, hugs I scarce. The bird of there, she can find no tree. Scans the town for some human touch. We keep our distance, we don't embrace too much. Oh, to hold you tight like it's out of sight. When the sun goes down.
stretches his little hand. His grandpa meets his through a sheet of glass. A window pane like the Berlin Wall. To a little boy, it don't make sense. Far from cocktails that she was raised, she hopes her world will be left unscathed. Oh, 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 to hold you tight like it's out of style.
Gorgeous song, Jack. I'm just saying, did you record that in your bedroom? How did you record that?
Jack? I did, yeah. can you not tell from all the pedal noises?
No, it's really lovely.
Yeah, it's a very, I suppose, it's nice, but yeah, it just came to me, and you know, they're the kind of songs that kind of, you know, write themselves, and yeah, they're the ones that you're kind of waiting for.
Anyway, before I let you go, Tara Keane in Dublin has texted and say, check out Jack's rendition of The Parting Glass with his dad and brother at the kitchen table. Beautiful harmonies. You can see where he got his talent. Is that true? Everyone knows everything in Ireland. I love it.
Yeah, my brother had it.
Go on.
Tara's a great photographer. She does a lot of work with the Hot House Flowers, and myself. She's come to my gigs, and all she wants is a ticket to the show, and she does the most amazing photography. So hi, Tara. I met her through the Hot House Flowers. She's a lovely, lovely person. But yeah, we were at my brother's house, and you know, I've always wanted another Everly brother or a McGarrigle, you know. Fionn, my brother, is an amazing singer, but he's a reluctant performer. He's more modest than me, so yeah, it was kind of organic. He just started singing The Parting Glass, and my mother pressed record, and my dad was in it too. My dad and mom have really brought great music into my life, so it was nice to be around the table and you know, have that blend.
Great, so we can check that out. Is it on YouTube?
It's not on YouTube. It went up on Instagram and great. Lots of other various social media platforms. Yeah, so we might have an a cappella album in the future with your family, you know.
Well, look, Jack, as ever, I love talking to you, and when this is all over, come back up to studio and we'll listen to you again.
I'd love to, yeah. I'd love to. And just to say, at the start of the program, Amanda, it's great to hear someone so soulful. And that recording was amazing. It reminded me of Aretha Franklin and all those old R&B singers. yeah, great recording.
Yeah, thanks so much. She's wonderful. Thanks, Jack. And I'm now staying in Cork because I'm joined by Bebe Baskin. Morning, Bebe.
Good morning, Miriam.
How are you? I believe you are in Crosshaven.
I'm near Crosshaven. Yeah, I actually live, I describe it this way, in the middle of a big field. So I'm surrounded by nature all the time, which is a great help during these COVID times when you need to keep a certain sense of calm about you. So I love being here, and it's not that far from the rather lovely village of Crosshaven.
And you've practice what you preach, actually, talking there about calmness, because I noticed this week you put some anti-anxiety tips as such in your Facebook page. You got a huge reaction to them, didn't you?
I did. I was very surprised. And you know how that came about, Miriam. It always amazes me how things that turn out to be quite powerful can have a simple start. It was, I believe, around the 9th of March that I was last working. And that was in Galway, and I was surrounded by a lot of students and teachers. And on that morning, we heard Simon Harris, Minister for Health, on Morning Ireland saying, no more handshaking, just this elbow bumping. I mean, that's how naive we were, and that's how long ago it was. Mm-hmm. But after that, I decided to come home and self-isolate, not just for the 2 weeks that was recommended, but for a month. And I absolutely loved it. And it's given me a great time to do the things I love, like studying and reading. But in the middle of that, I put out a thing on Facebook, which I deleted very quickly. I said early on, I don't think this is going to finish as early as we're being told. I could imagine it would be September at least. And a few people replied, and they were in a state of panic. And some kind soul, I don't remember the name because I had to rush to delete it, but some kind soul said, I think you shouldn't be putting that out. You're going to cause anxiety in people. And out of that, I thought, well, I did delete it, of course, but I thought, if I've caused anxiety, could I not do the opposite? And out of that, there grew this idea for writing these anti-anxiety tips. I've written about 21 of them, and I stopped just as we came into this recent phase of slight more relaxation of things on Tuesday.
Tell me what your key ones are. One of our listeners, Colin Eaton, says, I love Bebe's dulcet tones on Miriam Coffee with Bebe. So what are your, for I suppose people listening this morning, Bebe, some people are lucky in life, they're not worriers, they don't do anxiety, but a lot of people aren't like that, especially now. So what are your key tips?
Well, definitely there's a huge amount of people out there, even still, and this is a couple of months later than that episode, who are full of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a number of things you can do. You know, one of the things that's almost become cliched now, and I myself do yam on about it, and that is living in the present moment. The tendency we had was to live in the past, go back over old hurts and things. Oh, she said this and I said that, or I should have done this and I should have done that. I think that's not as prevalent now in COVID times because it's the future we're very worried about. So the great COVID actually presents a great opportunity to practice the habit of getting the most out of the present moment. And there are a couple of reasons why you should do that. First of all, we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. All we can live for really is today and do the best we can with it. So I'd say to your listeners, just now, go outside or go to a nice room in your house or a thing you like in your house and look at it and take in some good thoughts that are positive and that give you joy. And once you create a little channel of joy, no matter how small it is, more will follow. And then get into the habit of living and enjoying everything that's around you now up to the best you can. Forget about the future. That's one tip.
Okay, keep going.
Oh, I've loads more. Loads more. In the bigger terms of things, I think that, you know, most people, even before COVID, they had lost touch with what I would call calm energy. And if you don't recognize calm energy, you'll know it's opposite. You go into a room, although we can't do that at the moment, and there's somebody in there with this frantic energy about them. And these are the ones that are always busy, 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 and very often not being very productive at all. It's not a calming energy. And a calming energy is a lovely thing to practice, because when you become a bit of a master of it, it drives optimism and confidence and the stamina to make you enjoy your life around you. So I think it's a very good time to do that. And you do that by slowing down. Meditation is another tip that's very useful. I think I have a 5-minute meditation on my website. It's not hard to learn. Some people think of meditation as this kind of a hippie thing, or you have to be an Indian guru. Not at all. I'm from Donegal. I'm no guru. So that as well is another good thing to do. And there are other tips that are still on that website. Oh, no, they're not on the website. Sorry. They're on my Facebook thing. There's a little one you can do. It proved very popular indeed. It's when we wake up in the morning, you know, we can think, oh, the awfulness, what lies ahead today? We can think of the many things that could disturb us. And I learned from Deepak Chopra a long time ago that the two choices you have when you wake are you can play your own misery movie, or you can play your own happy movie. And that will colour the way you begin your day. And it could stick with you for many hours afterwards. So again, we're looking to pick out positive things. And they may be just simple. But you know what? Simplicity is lovely.
And also, I suppose, Bibi, you have had, haven't you, the lifelong passion. Is it Ayurveda, like the Indian system of mind, body and health? I mean, you lived in India. You've believed in it for decades, haven't you?
I did, Miriam. And, you know, naturally people might think that I discovered this wellness system when I moved to India. Not at all. I used to study it in Dublin when I was an RTE. It's just that, you know, it wasn't quite suitable to the entertainment show I was doing at the time. Mm. So decades indeed, you're absolutely right. And I do like it because, as you say, it's holistic. You know, if you're not well here and it's physical, you go to a doctor who, you know, and everybody would be sympathetic. But if you have a mental problem, maybe depression, big or more, people don't give you the same space or the same sympathy or understanding. And that's why I love Ayurveda. It's all in one. We're seen as a unit, mind, body and soul. And I like that.
And you yourself seem in a very happy place in your life. Is that right, Bibi?
Yeah, I would have to say I am. And I'm very grateful for that, you know. Mm. I suppose my formula for happiness mightn't suit everybody. I've never been after great riches. That's not the thing. I don't have a car at the moment. The car got banjaxed and I had to go to the scrapyard. I suppose I'll get another old secondhand one when things right are fine. I don't feel amiss of it at all. And I suppose one of the things that makes me happiest of all is when I'm learning new things. And I'm using this time, I mentioned it earlier, to study. And one of the things I'm trying to do, believe it or not, is to write a book about my time in India. For the moment, it's called Bibi's Scribbly Cookbook. And it is about a culinary adventure, many of them that I had over there. But it's also about life adventure, you know, the mad thing I did to go off like that and do what I did. And the sheer enjoyment. And I think that's where I learned a lot of the life lessons that contribute to the happiness that I feel today. So it's been a great old adventure.
Well, I look forward to reading that, Bibi. Thank you very much. And if anyone wants, they can look in your Facebook page.
Wait.
Yep, go on.
I haven't got a publisher yet. I've only done the proposal in a few chapters. I'm only starting to send it out. So fingers crossed.
Well, Bibi, as ever, thanks so much. And as I say, if people want to read your tips, they can look in your Facebook page and get all your anxiety, anti-anxiety tips. That's all from Bibi. Thanks for joining us. Have a lovely day.